Okay, let's open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we place ourselves in your presence. We just ask for your light and to show us the truth, show us the truth you wish to show us, not only truths that are right for all, but also for within ourselves and our mission, our journey, our destiny, to all that which you have called us. Father, we just ask you to continue to bless all the efforts that are begun here today with all these men here. Watch over them, guide them, lead them to the truths, to the strengths, to the abilities you wish to call them. Father, we just ask you to anoint everything here that we initiate, perfect its work, and may it all bring glory to you for all eternity. And we ask all these things for your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, earlier, yeah, Jason, you posed the question about overcoming fear. Now, again, that is such a wide, wide word that I believe encapsulates a lot of dynamics that happen in our lives. The way we were formed, our relationships, what we have in front of us, whether we're weighed down, whether we have certain concerns, things we're trying to achieve, things we're trying to avoid, objectives we're trying to reach, the thoughts that tend to bother us, a past that tends to nag us. And so there's so many things which can vex and disturb and thwart our life and our peace. And basically, somebody who hasn't reached peace is going to be in fear, okay? And that fear, sometimes what's difficult about fear oftentimes, this is my opinion, it's oftentimes difficult to pinpoint. You know, you could say, well, I'm afraid of the test coming up, or, you know, I'm afraid of what my girlfriend's going to say when I break things off. I mean, there's certain things, fears you can pinpoint, right? Most fear in a man is nonverbal. This is what makes it very confusing. Okay, most fear in men is like they don't know how to define it. And some, sadly enough, have this, I'm not even sure how to name it, a spirit of fear. That's not a very proper way of terming it, but a overall disposition or propensity to fear, a habit of fear within their soul. They're afraid and they don't even know why. And so some are kind of timid. And what you find is even guys who are very strong and capable, a lot of times you start unpacking the layers of that onion, you'll find deep fears in men. A lot of professional athletes, a lot of very successful businessmen. If you start unpacking what's going on in their lives, and I've done this with men, you will find fears underlying. Some they'll be able to enunciate very clearly, and others that they can't. And there's still other fears that certain things, if we don't conquer, can touch our entire lives. For example, I know of a very successful businessman, retired at 46 with $25 million, lived the American dream. What's interesting is I started to unpack things about his life. He didn't know how to swim. And I believe that simple fear of not knowing how to swim, which, by the way, I believe is a natural desire that should be met. I believe part of our human development as men, and women too, we should know how to swim. I mean, we came from water, baptized in water, where it's significant to us, but swimming is a very primal act and we should learn it. And I believe all primal acts contribute to our development. But you see, some things, if they're never met, actually affect us, like an ability not to swim. Like, in fact, I didn't learn to swim until I was 35. I taught myself in Liceo in Rome. And I was hit by a surfboard playing around the water when I was 6 years of age. I thought I was going to drown. It was a highly traumatizing event. But what I find is there can be certain traumatizing events, something a parent even says, that can fill one with a kind of trepidation their entire life. So fear's a strange thing in terms of its phenomena, how it affects us, how to define it, but even more so, yeah, how to detect it. Where is it? What is it? How is it operative in my soul? The human person's very complex. And so an ultimate question is, how do I get rid of even what I don't understand and move in peace? Now, the person who's uninformed, say he doesn't know, the man who doesn't know these 18 pillars or knows nothing about them, can't identify with them, he's going to ask those questions which we initiated at the beginning, which all men have. What do I do now? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Most men have these questions. Most men. Okay. Even good, like devout Christian men. What is my purpose in life? Why are things the way they are? Why can't things seem to get better? Why do I feel like I'm always in a rut? Why is it that I just can't seem to get along with certain people? Where's my life headed? But the biggest one, in one sense, is what's the purpose of my life? That question needs to be as clear as possible, and I believe that could be made very clear. Okay, and I'm going to do that for you right now. I'm going to tell you your purpose in life and how it is that you live out your life. And I believe what I'm going to talk to you guys right now is one of the most important things you can ever learn. What is your purpose? You are called to be a salt of the earth and the light of the world. You're called to be a manifestation of Jesus Christ for the glory of your Heavenly Father. Now, as I said, remember your ultimate end? I like to say your cosmic end is to give your Heavenly Father glory. But you see, you do that by living in Christ. Now, it's taught clearly in scriptures and defined by church dogmas. It is through the Word, through the second person of the Trinity, we're all recreated. And the second person of the Trinity became man, took on flesh, came to pay a price for our sins, died and suffered, gave us an example to live. And it is he who will come in final judgment and will pass a judgment on us and through whom we're united in all eternity. So Jesus Christ is from whom we came, or the Word. He's from whom we came. It's in whom we move now. And it's to him we go. It's all about him. Now, if you miss this fundamental truth, I promise you, you're going to miss what's fundamental in life. Now, we had Daniel back there, who's a Buddhist, pretty much followed everything I said. Now, this, it's interesting, here is comments on this, maybe get them recording later, but unless we see this, he's where we came from. He's where we're going. And he who is, we are. I wonder if I said that properly. And so, it is moving in through him, with him, and in him for the glory of the Father in unity with the Holy Spirit. It's that dynamic in motion that's the only thing I believe, ultimately, you ask the question, what roots out fear? And I'm going to explain why. But what I want to do, and I do this at nearly every men's conference. Some get tired of me repeating it, but I really believe it is the most important truth in your life, and it's this. This happens for the Christian. It's this truth I navigate everything in my life around, everything. When, at baptism, when the Holy Spirit came down and the minister imparted the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and poured the water over you. We say, in the Catholic Church, there are many effects of this. Original sin is wiped away, you have infused gifts of the Holy Spirit, you become one of God's children, and others. Okay? But what happens here is, it's there these many effects, but there's only one reality, and that is the mark of Jesus Christ, the identity of Jesus Christ is now marked, suffused, implanted now on your soul. You have become who he is. I don't know if all of you guys are Christian, but this is the primal Christian message, okay, which most of us miss. I'll show you why it's so important. If we now have this mark on our soul, which is invisible, in Jesus Christ, is a divine being. He took on human flesh, but he's a divine being. And I'm a human being. If now I have this imprint of the divine being, what am I now? Am I more human and am I more divine? Well, we could talk about these mysteries under different aspects, but if it's true I have this mark of divinity on my soul, guess what kind of now defines me? It's that divinity. It's that mark of Jesus Christ. I have become, you have become who he is. We have become who he is. Now this is heavy. I'll explain why it'll bring peace. It's the, I believe, the ultimate and only answer. As much as I believe the closer we get to all truths, our life gets better and we're brought to peace and we can reduce fear. But unless we're brought to this highest ultimate truth, which really explains why we're here, we're going to miss the boat entirely. Now, we say, in a sense, that after baptism we become one of God's children. Well, in a sense, that's not entirely right. In one sense, why is that? Because God the Father only had one Son, whose image you bear. So when the Father sees you, he sees his Son, who he loves, who he adores, in whom he finds all his delight. You have become who he is. And so Father doesn't look at Jason as somebody who's got this major and he's got this relationships and he's got these problems and these struggles and these abilities and these gifts. He sees his Son, who he loves, who cherishes, in whom he finds his delight. And so if we have this identity, we're called to move in that identity. We're called to move, as I say, through him, with him, and in him. It's not so much about Jesus and us. It's about me or us in Jesus Christ. But here's what's important in that reality on a very practical level. If this is all true, then if I really do live in Jesus Christ, then I live in his journey. I don't have a journey anymore. It's his journey, which he's invited me into. It's a little heavy. You guys can listen in later. I've got other recordings on this, by which I didn't learn this truth till I was twice your age, okay? So it's a little heavy. But we move in that identity now of Jesus Christ. As we're told in baptism, the old man is wiped away. It's the new man that's come out of that water, which is in the figure of Jesus Christ. One of the ways we teach as Catholics how Christ endures with us always is through the institution of the Eucharist, by which his body, blood, soul, and divinity is made present at the altar. And that's true. That's the way he perpetuates himself in the fullest way. But he also perpetuates himself in us. We are the body of Christ. We embody who he is. How do people see Jesus? They see him in you. You're called to be a witness of him, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You're called to be his manifestation on earth. That's your calling. It's your mission. As much as I talk about leader, protector, provider, priest, prophet, and king, and I'll do that all day long, but that was Jesus too. Jesus was a leader, protector, provider, and Jesus, we know, was the priest, prophet, and king. When you move in Jason, you're going to be filled with fear. But you move in the king of the universe, are you going to find fear there? No. No. Are you following me? This is heavy stuff. Now, it has many ramifications, and it takes a long time for it to really settle in the soul and really to make its impact. But if you live in Jason, you're going to see yourself in Jason, who's got these struggles, and he has these hardships, and he doesn't know what's going to happen next. Well, there's fear in that, right? But if you see yourself moving in the king of the universe, it's like, he's won, man. He not only was in from where he started, but he led a perfect life, and he's now even in greater glory, okay? Yeah, I want to be on that. I want to be on Team Jesus, man. That's that. He's the one I want to follow. He's the one I want to live in. He's the one I want to be in. He's the one I want to camp in. And you see, if we move in that identity too, as I said, the Father loved Jesus because he's in his image and he's the greatest thing ever. The Father loves the Son more than all creation combined. Combined. And that's the love he has for you. Isn't that heavy? Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love isn't spousal love, brothers. Perfect love is the Father to a Son. We'll extend that, okay? Make it inclusive. Parent to child, okay? But in some way, that perfect love starts in fatherhood. Because it's a father's love, somehow we can always pinpoint. A mother's love is so basic, so primal, it's hard to even talk about it. But a father's love is perfective. And it's a father's love that keeps us from fear. But it's when we get out of ourselves and move out of ourselves and die to ourselves, then we're free. Only then are we free. And so one of the greatest mistakes in Christianity, I hear it said a lot, my calling is to get to heaven, or as a parent, my calling is to get me and my family to heaven. Well, heaven's our destination, but it's not our mission. If it's about getting to heaven someday, you're just going to see God as some kind of sugar daddy. And by the way, that talk is very impersonal. What the heck does it mean, go to heaven someday? I don't even know what that means. Yeah, we wind up in a place someday, that's true. But we're not called to be in a place. We're called to be in a communion with the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit for all eternity. That's our ultimate destination. It's not a place where we camp out at, you know, and kick back on clouds and drink Mai Tais all day. That's not heaven. Heaven is union with the divine being. But where does that divine being exist right now? In you. The Trinity lives in you. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God isn't a place we go. The kingdom of God is a reality also within ourselves. Pretty heavy, isn't it? And so when I started to see this, when I was definitely over twice your age, my life started to change. Because you see, if we don't see it that way, then we reduce the gospel and all the gifts of Christ, maybe the sacraments and all our prayers, to getting our needs met and having a better life. We want the bonus road. Sometimes people confuse Christianity with the American dream. No, it's union with Christ. Again, through him we were created, in him we move, and to him we're going. He's our beginning, he's our journey, and he's our destination. It's all about him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. We're called to move in Christ. Father calls us to move in his Son. So if we have his identity, again, it's not about us anymore. It's all about him. And this, living in this, is real freedom. There's a speaker called Matthew Kelly, and I don't want to say this necessarily critical because he's kind of a genius in his own way. He has this famous CD, Become the Best Version of Yourself. No. Become the best version of Christ. That's our calling. If you want to become the best version of yourself, you will always ask yourself, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Promise you. If it's about the best version of yourself, you will always have these questions. No, it's about becoming the best version of Christ. Now, when I started to learn this and meditating on this, everything that I did and do now is about Christ's journey. Jason invites me to speak. like Jesus, I journey to a land and I go and preach the gospel, what I consider to be the gospel, right? I do it in Jesus like he did. You asked me, how are things going with my shoulder, which I broke 2.5 months ago? I never saw that injury outside of Christ's cross on his shoulders. I don't navigate it outside that reality of Christ's wound that carried that shoulder, that carried that cross. I don't navigate that way. Phil Chavez broke his clavicle. Oh, woe is him. Too bad he had to have a surgery. Oh, there's a plate there. What's going to happen with this plate? No, it's Jesus Christ who is wounded that he asked me to share in. I know this is pretty heavy, okay? So I've been meditating on this for a long time, so it's kind of become second nature. And everything that happens when I get a headache, it's Christ who has been crowned. If I get judged, it's Christ who's been mocked by the Pharisees or something. Everything that I move in is in and through and with Christ, everything. I don't see my journey outside of his. And by the way, that journey can answer all your questions in life. This is why your main navigational system isn't the seven habits of, you know, what's that book by Steve Covey? Seven Habits of Successful People. I forget what the name of it is. But you want to learn about your life. You read the Gospels and you read about the life of Jesus Christ. Then you will understand your life. Do you want your life, Jason, to be interpreted? You read the Gospels. I forget your name.
Brian
and...
Luis.
I'm sorry?
Luis.
Do you want to understand your life? Where you've been, what's happened to you, why it's happened to you. You read the Gospels and you move in that identity of Christ in those Gospels, then you will say, oh, that's why. Oh, I see now. Pretty heavy, but you do that, you watch. You do that with that mindset. Sometimes we read the Gospels and the epistles in the Old Testament to see how much we can be blessed. Or what prayers can I learn, or what promises can I attach to make my life a better one? Right? That's how a lot of Christians operate. That's why a lot of people are impressed with Christians. Because it's more about the American dream than it is about denying thyself. Right? I don't want to be critical, but Christ's promises are there. But the promise you want, which is really understood in all his promises, is that you will always get what it takes to look like his son. That's what the Father wants to give you. He wants you to look like his son did on earth. That's the grace you want. And you see, that's why Jesus says, take my yoke, for my yoke is easy, my burden light. So yeah, when I break my shoulder, and yeah, you ask me if it hurt. Yeah, it hurt. Okay. But it's Christ's yoke. And you know, now that, and I received from the very instant it happened, I just knew it's his injury. It's not my injury. He owns it. I don't own it. He's asked me to carry it though. And it didn't burden me so much. I had no fear of what was to become of me. Whether I need surgery or not, would it heal naturally, would I ever use my arm again? When you ask me how it's going, I told you, 80% capacity, I'm able to live, do such and such, I'll tell you. But the idea is that it's his injury. And when I finally took my yoke upon, his yoke upon me, then yeah, it was easier to bear. And what happens in the mysteries of the Christian life, that when you begin to move in his suffering, you actually find joy. For the first 2-3 days after this injury, I was in total joy. And the Father started to speak things to me, very personal things, okay? And he started to illuminate me. And you see, what's interesting about the spiritual life, it isn't a yin or yang thing where you're not in, now you're in. You know, it's a growth. Spirituality is growth. It's ongoing growth. In fact, in heaven, we still will grow, believe it or not, in eternity. It's fascinating. So there's always ongoing growth. So God always wants to bring us to this place of ongoing growth. And so he does that. And how does he do that? We surrender to his son. He starts teaching us. He mentors us. And guess what? A father wants to speak to his kids. So I feel many times the inspiration of the Father that I reinterpret in voice happens to me all the time. I can give you many examples. I'm trying to think of one, the most recent. Sometimes his revelation will come at a time where I'm in quandary or I'm wondering or something's difficult, right? And so as he often will speak to us, we surrender to him. And I remember one time trying to leave this apartment building I was in. Because, I don't know, there was probably some drug deal, a little noise going on. I thought, yeah, Father, wouldn't it be great if I get out of this apartment complex someday? And he said to me, Philip, you're not leaving here till you see me and every one of these people. One time, I was out for a run. This is great. I was out for a run, and I was just coming back. I think, gosh, Father, wouldn't it be great when I get to this certain income level that I won't have to worry about this and that? And he said to me, Philip, have I given you anything less than I've given my son? So it's interesting how if he's a father and you're a son, why shouldn't we expect to hear his voice? Now, I don't actually hear a voice. Be always wary. People say they hear voices, right? But I reinterpret in my spirit that which becomes very clear, almost like I hear a voice. I really don't hear anything, but it's reinterpreted in my spirit. It's transformed my life. If that's the case, that means I'm in relationship, I'm in communion with the Father. Because of flooding, I was late for a plane in Phoenix four days ago. Okay, I'm late for a plane. Father, what do you have in store? Oh, no, gosh, I got to get on this flight. Oh, I got to go. No, it can't be a delay. No, that can't be the case. I'm delayed. It's Father's journey. Okay, I was delayed one full day. In fact, the next day I spent some time with some priests. It was awesome. It was just awesome. One of the greatest days of my year. So I find that in moving in him, I don't ask what's going to happen. I don't ask where am I going. I don't ask what's ahead. Not that I don't discern some of these things. Obviously, I still set objectives. I still work hard. Still apply myself. I just don't. And I still ask, in some way, I still ask the question, okay, where's this going next? But it's not like in a fear. It's just really, it's like a wonder. I wonder where I'm going to go next kind of thing, okay? And it's very much transforming. And when I started to move in that, I think I started to really grow and started to really overcome fear. And in that place, remember all those fears I was talking about? I was kind of prefacing this way because it's true that we have fears. It's good if we detect them, narrow them down, overcome them. I get that on the natural level, and there's certain truths in that. However, when you start living in the journey of Christ, all those fears, even those you can't identify, I'm not saying they go away instantly, but they have a way of taking care of themselves. And by the way, what I'm telling you is a life that I live that I always have to make an act of faith about. Sometimes I'm tempted against that, but I always submit in faith. You know, it's your faith which saves you. Your faith is ongoing. So this mystery isn't something like, okay, I got it, I'm good. I got this, I'm his beloved son, I'm locked in, I'm in his journey, I'm good. No. It's, I still have to meditate on it, keep that in mind, keep that resolution. Father, I know I'm in you. Father, I know that you'll teach me the ways I need to go in your son. Father, I just want to manifest him for your glory. And I have every confidence you'll show me the way. So I make acts of faith like that, maybe difficult times, times I'm not feeling so good, but I don't live by my feelings, right? I live by faith, or I try to, you know, and I think I accomplish that a lot of the time. So that's what gives life. Now, when you move in this identity, then imagine that. You have this identity. Is the 18 pillars, is that harder to live? No, it's easier, right? If I'm not maybe that leader I'm supposed to be, do I worry about it? No, I just say, Father, just teach me that quality in your son by which I need to move forward. Father, help me understand what it is to be this devoted husband with my wife who seems to nag me. And Father, just make sure, help me become that right witness to her that I'm supposed to be. And Father, in this hardship, I know you've called me, the sacrifice, but Father, you've called me to be your priest. And Father, just teach me that journey in your son. So all these pillars, I live through them in the son. That's why in some way of all these pillars, we say, well, Dr. Chavez, which is the most important? The two pillars in some way are that number one in identity, the beloved son, which I explained to you now, okay? And that's primal in the Christian life because everything, now this is my language, everything you do in life should be identity driven. For example, well, I'm already explaining that in the spiritual life, but for example, if you had a son who's named Johnny, you could tell Johnny to do this and hope Johnny does that and hope he takes out the trash and hope he goes to camp in summer and provide for him and all the rest. But when Johnny ventures out in the world, you want to know that he's loved by you. You want to know that he's a beloved son. And you know if Johnny navigates out of that identity, he's going to be happy and he's going to go in the right direction. When he takes out the trash, you want him to do it as a son who's obedient to the father, not so he gets his allowance, but he's a son. He sees taking out the trash as a way of being grateful for your love and returning love. You follow? So when I've learned how to make everything identity-driven and not whether I was naughty or nice, but rather move in the son, everything started to move in my life in a much more fluid way. And so in all that we do, in all that we do, we want to make sure we're identity-driven as this beloved son. In other words, it's what we stand on, and if everything flows from what we do. So when you're in school here, you're worried about exams, you don't know if you'll graduate in time, you move as a son and position yourself as a son. Father, I'm just here as your son. And Father, I just want to be obedient to your will and what you have in store for me. Father, what come may be, as long as I know and live and move in him as you show me, I'll get to where I need to go. There's no fear. Doesn't mean you still don't work hard for your exams. Of course you do. But there's no fear in that effort. There's no trepidation. And so that's what brings life. Now, so when you follow God, as he said, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not like, keep my commandments in order for me to love you. No, if you love me, you will be able to follow my commandments. In other words, he wants us to follow his commandments out of love for him, not just to be obedient or just do the right or to make sure we stay in grace. No, he wants us, our primary motive is to follow him so that to follow him in a spirit of identity of one being loved and do these things out of simple return of love. Does that make sense? And that's freedom. That's freedom. So when I go to Sunday Mass, I'm very aware, as Christ said, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you shall have no life in you. And I understand that that Eucharist that is confected at the altar is the source of eternal life, and I'm happy and joyful to participate in that. It's not my motive for going to church on Sunday. My motive is the Father invited me to his table, and I love my Father, and as a son, I'm happy to attend and be present. Does that make sense? I don't do it because it's my Sunday obligation, and I'm going to receive this at the end. No. It's I do it as a son. I'm moving because of his invitation, and I love my Father. He's invited me. I come to the wedding feast. Okay? And that's really changed everything. So all of his commandments, you know, all of his ordinances, all of his laws, his decrees, and especially those even as defined by the church were to follow. I do it in the spirit as a son. And there's freedom in that. There's a lot of freedom. I don't do anything now in expectation of getting something. It's not why I operate. I operate now out of love of my Father. And that's what empowers me. That's what gives me life. That's what gives me being. That's what gives me purpose. That's what gives me a solid journey. That is what gives me foundation to stand on. And that's finally, yeah, what brings real freedom. Now, in order for this to happen and to grow in that identity, you have to spend time with your Heavenly Father. Now, yes, follow His commandments, attend His table, receive His body and blood, say the prayers you were taught to say, but spend time with Him in what I would otherwise call personal prayer. You could use some such words as meditation. There's another academic theological word we use, mental prayer. But spend heart-to-heart prayer with your Father in heaven, in His Son. Believe you're His Son and pray to Him as a son. Your life will change. And, you know, spiritual teachers and fathers of the church said you can never really grow unless you have this heart-to-heart conversation with the Father. You can never really grow in the spiritual life. I totally get that. Because that prayer will make it identity-driven. When things are identity-driven, my words, then it gets the richest fulfillment. Then you're on the right starting point. Now, as I explained to a lot of guys, and this is very simple, if I had a son, I would want my son to spend at least 15 minutes a day in my presence, at least. First thing I do when I get up in the morning, after I make my coffee, I just spend 15 minutes, my first 15, just camp with the Father. I don't say anything. I don't ask for anything. I just put myself in His presence. And I know that pleases Him. I don't ask Him to speak, and He does all the time. Okay? And He gives me these graces. I don't ask for them. I don't want to say I don't want them. I want whatever He proposes to give me because it's for my own good, but it's not my motive. And it's just to be in His company. And so, generally, brothers, generally, we should be spending at least an hour of prayer a day. Now, that could be combined reading. Now, this may sound like a lot, but in one sense, it's really not. If you can't make an hour, it should be a half hour. If you can't make a half hour, it should be 15 minutes. But there's different prayers you could say, and different devotions of the church, okay? Different things you could read. You could read part of that prayer time, I mean kind of devotional time is what I kind of mean too. Scriptures, spiritual works. But you'd be surprised how easy it is really to fit in prayer at different times if you really try. But of all of that, minimum 15 minutes, and I mean that's a minimum for any adult, speaking of adults of all ages, and we could talk about duties of children, but I won't go there right now, but every adult should spend at least 15 minutes a day in company with their Heavenly Father. That's the way I see it now. It's just that simple. And then in that solid foundation of the spiritual life, then you could be that leader, protector, provider with more peace and more solid direction and more purpose and all those pillars of manliness. That will help you become a hero and not worry about how much it's going to cost you. You know, we worry a lot of things about doing the right. We assess, well, this could cost us. I could be persecuted. Yeah. As Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're certainly going to persecute you, you know. That was His promise. But you see, when we move in Him, it doesn't really matter. because it's his journey of persecution, not ours. And we just move in that journey. We need to be prudent. I'm not saying being reckless or anything. You've got to be prudent. Wise as serpents, innocent as doves. But we move forward in life with the identity of Christ, and that journey just always, like, always before us. It's our navigational device. It's the lens through which we see everything. And the fears somehow go away, and peace comes, and it's, like I say, it's navigation. Because, like, one of our big questions, what do I do now? You know, well, it just tends to, when we live in his journey, it happens. It just goes. We don't worry about where life is headed. Because it's Christ's journey, which is all figured out, and it's a divine journey. So it's solid, it's stable, it's eternal, it's good, it works. All right, any questions? We'll just keep it at that. I had other points, but I didn't expect to get that deep into this, but I'm glad we did.
Yeah.
Because I honestly believe what I just explained to you right now is the most important thing you need to learn in your life. There's nothing more important, definitely on a practical level. We could talk about spiritual subjects of the Trinity and all the rest, and that's all great. But in terms of it applies to you and your life and how to move and how to forge forward, that truth is the most primal. How to stand, how to proceed, how to run. Heavenly Father, you're just so good. We just want to ask you continually for your mercy, and you just look upon us in our journeys and help us always look as your Son looked on this earth. Father, we just hope always to move his image. Father, just teach us that journey of what it is to move in his identity and not ours. Teach us to deny thyself, that kind of denial which will bring us true freedom. Father, we just always want to move for your glory. And again, in thanksgiving for all blessings received, and in company with all the saints, we ask all these things for your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. That was good.
Really, thank you for...
Oh, what's that?
Spending time with us on behalf of the fraternity, I decided to give you some DH gear.
All right. DH. Oh,
yeah,
wow. Look at this. All right. We got
the
t-shirt going on there. Oh, the hat and the mug.
Hat, yeah. So the.
This inspires me to get my own merch going. But, anyways, thanks.
It's wonderful and how you just put so much time in this, and we really are grateful for that.
Good.
So,
good. Thanks.
We really want to keep constant communication with you.
We hope you enjoy this recording of Dr. Phil Chavez, founder of the Men's Academy. To find out more about our training and resources on Christian manliness, visit www.themensacademy.org. Thank you.